Yeah, this is me.
Lord, it's been a long, long time. I know this ain't no social call. So go ahead, get it off your mind. You heard what? Well, it ain't true. I was here most all last night. I got over you the day you left. Could it be somebody like?
They said what? That I was crying.
I haven't shared that I spoke your name.
Well, that's insane.
I hardly noticed you're not here. That I showed your picture to some stranger. Don't you think I got no pride? They've been here at home, face down. But I bet somebody lied. But if they were true, what would it matter to you? Would it change the way you feel? If the rumors were right, would you be here tonight? So hard heal.
Well, don't worry, it wasn't me,
just someone whose world was torn in two. Someone who looks a lot like me and loves someone like you. So forget the tears,
I never cry.
Lord, I bet somebody
country music fan, particularly classic country. Join me, Cope Reynolds, every Friday night for Liberty Lounge right here on the Survival Circle Network. Absolutely the fastest 2 hours on internet radio. Liberty Lounge. Every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Eastern. right here on Survival Circle. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. For the next hour, I'll be bringing you commentary and important updates on current events, as well as information on guns, training, preparedness, and other liberty-related issues. Let's get started. RAT, right now. Alrighty, here we are. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It is the 2nd of June, and it's a Thursday. I was hoping to be on in time to take Amy's place again tonight, but I was way late, so I decided to just put on a little bit of Liberty Lounge for you. And I noticed one of those goes way back. I don't know how it got there. It goes all the way back to Just Measure stuff, so we need to get that one weeded out of there and get it off of there, man. But not because there's anything wrong with it. We just don't want to mislead people in times and line up and all that. So I'll hunt that one down and get it off there tonight. So we won't do that again. Not sure how that wound up on there. But anyway, we've got a few new things. I don't know if you guys noticed or not. Some of you possibly in Southern California, most anybody in Arizona, maybe even Southern Utah, we had a very, very large, very serious, big problem meteor hit here last night. And it was an event, I can tell you. The sky lit up like daylight all around Sholo and Snowflake and this whole area around here. I don't know how far it traveled laterally, so I don't know if it lit up the sky from Denver to here or what. I don't have any idea. But according to one of the stories I read, they said this thing was, it was pretty big. Let me see if I can find that again. I hate to say, but I want to say... They said asteroid. Maybe it never did actually strike. That may have been a sonic boom that we heard. I hadn't even read the story on it. I just heard about it earlier. So, and I think that's probably the case because they said it, the one that I looked at said it was like 10 feet in diameter. If that would have hit the ground, it would have been a problem worse than that, I think. But let's see. Said it was a small asteroid about 10 feet in diameter that entered the Earth's atmosphere over Arizona. Scientists estimated that the object was moving at more than 40,000 miles an hour when it sped across the Arizona sky shortly before 4 a.m. There was no immediate reports of damage. Well, there was some damage here in Sholo. There was some people that lost windows. This was a sonic boom unlike any other sonic boom. This wasn't a jet plane flying at 2,000 miles an hour or whatever. It was a 10-foot diameter rock traveling at 40,000 miles an hour. And I'm assuming that that is a great recipe for a respectable something to write home about sonic boom. Said if Doppler radar is any indication, there are almost certainly meteorites scattered on the ground north of Tucson. So there you have it. More than 140 people have reported the bright fireball that illuminated the sky around 3:57 a.m. Thursday to the American Meteor Society. Quite a deal. If you look at the, do a search, look that up, and look at the sky, look at the trail that it left there. Pretty interesting. Just another one of those things that a lot of things going on. All right, let's move on. I've got, hang on a minute, we have breaking news here. Hang on 1 second. All right, sorry about that. One of the things before I get into my other stories, I want to do this while it's fresh on my mind. Once again, I've been putting stuff on my blog and on Facebook and everywhere else. Still trying to get people that are not quite on board yet to get on board. And that is with the, yeah, Chuck, I was testing a brand new gun. It was a 150 caliber shotgun, heat-seeking shotgun. No, I continue to try to get people to wake up and realize how close we are and to do something to get ready. A lot of people talk about it, not nearly enough people talk about it seriously. They stand around, wring their hands, and say, oh, what are we going to do? Let's go to Disneyland. Well, I'm just not convinced that vacations like that are very intelligent right now. I think that that money should be put towards other things. So, for those of you that do take this serious enough to waste time on here, I think there's something that you might want to consider. You might want to consider doing in your area. Some of you have gotten serious enough that you've managed to procure some kind of a radio. I don't care what kind of a radio you get. I would prefer that you get at least two different kinds of radios, maybe three. A lot of people think their CBs are... Now, before you sign off and get out, no, we're not going to spend the whole time talking about the types of radios that you should buy. We did that not too awfully long ago, and I'm not going to bore you with it again. If you guys have any questions you put in the chat room, then I'll address those, but I'm not going to go through the whole thing here. But there's a few things that I want to touch on again. And one of those is people think the CB is old-fashioned, outdated. Yeah, it is old-fashioned. I'm not so sure it's outdated. I still think that it has a tremendous, very reputable spot in our lineup for communications. It does things that some of the other types don't do. It's non-licensed. It's easy to find. It's easy to set up. It's inexpensive. Used CBs are at yard sales every single weekend across the nation. There is no reason at all not to have a good CB. A well-to-esque radio, Doc, a well-tuned CB will get out very well. There are still lots of people that have them. And if you were to, if you're going to get one, here's what I would suggest that you do. I would get a, I would get what they call an import radio, a DX radio, and that radio will have anywhere from 240 to at least 480 channels. They put out more power. Now, technically, yeah, technically a lot of that is still illegal. But the FCC doesn't have time to sit around and find everybody that messes with that. So I wouldn't worry about it too much. And we're talking about poop hit the fan. Have it, practice with it, learn how to use it. You know, if you use it moderately, you know, in moderation, it's not going to be a problem for you. I promise you it's not going to be a problem. There are guys out there that are talking on way whole lot bigger radios than you're going to get, and they don't even mess with them. So don't worry about it. But a handheld CB, handheld CBs kind of suck. There's only a couple out there. I've got one that's been tuned up a little bit, quite a bit different. It's about 19 steps above the average handheld CB that you can find out there. It's a great little rig, as a matter of fact. Talks very well. Even if you just get a standard, everyday, ordinary, run-of-the-mill 40-channel CB at Walmart, make sure that it's tuned up well, that the radio, that the antenna matches the radio well, and the SWRs are set properly, and it'll do you a fine job. There's still lots of CBs out there. There's lots of people for you to talk to. Redundancy in communications is, I think, imperative, because not everybody has any one thing. So, you know, there's people out there that that have CB only. There's people out there that have VHF only, you know, 2 meter ham only. There, so it's nice to have something that will get out there to everybody. So the things that I really recommend. Now, we got all kinds of stuff going all over the chat room here, and I don't necessarily agree with all that. HF stuff is nice to have. I do not think it's critical. It would be nice if somebody in your group or in your area has it, but it's not essential. What's essential is that you're able to talk to everyone in your area. Anything outside of your area is icing on the cake. So the I think that your UHF stuff, your little Bofangs, there's two bands on there, UHF, VHF, and a very, very wide range of stuff that you can't even get licensed for. And I think that that and a CB will cover about 80-90% of all of your communication needs. Anything above that is gravy. It's just icing on the cake, as I said. The little Bofangs will cover all of your FRS and GMRS stuff, all of your 2 meter, and they get way above and way below the standard 2 meter band. So there is lots of room for talking there. And your CB, if you get a DX radio, you're actually getting up into HF stuff with your DX radio. It's just not the type of antenna and power and stuff. I set up here on my DX radio, and I've talked to routinely. I talk to people from right here in northern Nevada. Northern Arizona. I've talked to people in Nevada, California, Oklahoma. I talked to Florida the other day. The thing is, it's not reliable enough as a CB to do it on demand. I just have to do it as the atmospheric conditions warrant, you know, and allow me to. But nevertheless, I can. So, and you can too. When I was in Farmington, I sit out there on my shooting range out there, and talked to a guy in Oklahoma for quite a while, just like he was sitting in the seat in the truck next to me. Plain as day. But pretty soon it faded out and went away, and he was gone. So, but those are the three things that I really recommend, and those three things will come in two radios, because you can get a really nice little base, not a base, but a little mobile unit that that will to go in your vehicle. That's it's either a 50 or a 75 watt rig. And it has all of the same frequencies on it that your little Bofang handheld has. So you're going to have all your 2 meter, you're going to have all your UHF stuff. It's an awesome little radio, and they're, you know, for about $300 or $400. So with that, you would be set up very, very well. And that, and like I said, anything above that would just be extra, and certainly no reason not to get it. I'm just saying that I would insist if I could. It's like guns, you know. It's nice to have You know, you should have a 308, you should have a 50 cal, you should have a 223, and you should have a 30-30, and you should have a 9mm, and you should have, well, all that's icing on the cake. You need basically just, you know, two or three to get started that is essential, and then after that, it's just gravy. So, here's my... here's my idea here. There's a couple of ways we want to go. The reason I'm getting started in all this, a little refresher there. A lot of you have heard that before. But the little refresher, because I think that you need to start working on... I know that Yakima Glock and Eddie Crump and Tampico Scout and some of those guys up there are already doing this. We're doing it here. And that is to have regular communications. I think Chuck's doing it. Edge of the Woods is doing it. You need to have regular communications. You need to set up a time where you talk, however you're talking. Well, I don't care if it's CB, whatever. If you don't have any radios and your friends don't either, number one, you better get on the stick. Number two, until you do it with your cell phone. But get in a habit of communicating with your group, with your neighborhood, your community, a few people that you trust, a few people that you like, and communicate with them. So you might set up a deal. Now, what would happen if what if that meteorite had hit, 100 miles from here? It would have caused a problem. 10 foot in diameter, running 40,000 miles an hour. Yeah, it would have been an event. It would have made the papers. If that would have happened, it could have very long-lasting and dramatic effects on towns and especially the people out in the rural areas for quite a substantial diameter radius around it there. So if something like that were to happen, are you already set up? Do you just run around screaming and hollering and wringing your hands and say, woe is me? Or do you have something set up where you can start communicating with people, getting everybody accounted for, find out where they're at, what they're doing, do they need help, and all of that. So if something like that were to happen, okay, we see a big dust cloud, we hear an explosion, all of a sudden something like that happens and the lights go out, any number of things that would constitute emergency, and most people are able to ascertain that an emergency has happened, then what's the first thing you do? Well, of course, first thing would be look around, make sure everybody in your immediate area, your family, your household, is squared away and safe. Once you determine that, now we need to start looking for all the rest of our people. So the fastest way to do that, if cell phones are down, even if cell phones are up, is... They may be, you know, the lines may be so clogged up you won't be able to use them. So we're back to radio. Depending on how far away all your people are, maybe everybody's set up with CB. Maybe that'll work for you. That's okay. So you need to have a certain channel picked out or two that is set aside just for an event such as this. And get on there and start monitoring it. Once you determine that there is, in fact, an emergency, or you suspect heavily that there is an emergency, it's not going to hurt anything for you to try to do this, and it wasn't actually an emergency. It's just good training. So you'll want to get on there and then figure out a schedule, a time when you might start doing this, or intervals that you're going to start trying to get a hold of everybody. Pick out a couple of default channels, whatever your channels are normally through the day. If that's your communication channel that you try to get a hold of everybody, that's fine. But you might pick out a default channel and say, okay, the emergency has happened. This is what we're going to start monitoring. I don't normally monitor repeaters, but now that there's an emergency happened, I'm going to monitor repeaters unless I determine that the repeaters are down. If they're down, then we'll go to simplex channels and or CB and try to determine try to determine if we can get a hold of our people. So you may have people coming from a long ways away that you can't reach right now, but you might be able to reach them as they get closer. So you might set up something, say, okay, we're gonna monitor this repeater and that repeater, and if they're down, then this simplex channel, whatever it may be. And I'll tell you, 146.520 is probably a good one to do, because that's going to be a real, real common, real standard frequency that'll be monitored there. And you're going to do that, you decide, every, 15 minutes, every half hour, every hour, whatever, until everyone is accounted for. So I would suggest maybe, depending on how far away everybody is too, if everybody's, say, 25, 30, 40 miles away, somewhere like that, then you might monitor these, let's just say, every half hour, just for something to talk about, and you guys could decide, what is best for you. So, say every half hour, and do that for, say, the first 24 hours, first 48 hours. By that time, most of your people that are within 20 miles are going to be accounted for, or they may not ever be accounted for. So then go to, in the next 24 hours, do it every hour for a little bit. After you've done that for a couple of days, anybody that's within 40 miles of you probably should either be accounted for or be able to get back with you on the radio. So I would do that for, and then the next thing I would do is go every 12 hours, twice a day, 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning, same time in the evening, and I would do that for 3 days. Then if I've got people outside of the area that may be coming for quite a ways, won't be able to reach you for a while, they should, within 3 days, even if they're on foot walking, they should be able to cover, except for the very worst circumstances, even if they're hiding from bad guys going cross country, they should still be able to get 10, 15 miles a day. And of course that could vary, but I would say that would be a pretty good average. Small groups that are in good shape, terrain's not too bad, they may do 20 or 25 miles a day. Wouldn't be impossible to do 30. But, you can, the people that are doing the traveling will have to figure that out. So if you do that every 12 hours for 3 days, then everybody should be accounted for. After that, I would do once every 24 hours for 30 days. Maybe even indefinitely, depending on the ability that you have to charge batteries and power, electricity to keep your radios running. Might reduce those times or lessen the frequency a little bit. So, and that's just some things that for you personally. Now, you also might have a thing kind of like a challenge and password. You got people that you know are in your group, but nothing's going to be secret out here too much in radio land. So you may have just any old band of gangsters say, yeah, but we're almost there. Yeah, we're kind of disoriented. Can you give us can you shoot a flare up in the air, or can you give us, grid coordinates or something? And we're running around in circles right now. And then you end up with a band of bandits out of a big city there. So I would have a rather intricate challenge and password set up and keep that very, very quiet. So if you've got somebody coming from out of town, and they need to get a hold of you, they'll be able to. So in just a minute, we're going to expand that a little bit, just as a suggestion, and you guys can decide if it's going to be worth it to you or not.
Invisible tears in my eyes, incredible pain. Indestructible memories are passing in review. Impossible though things may get improbable, I will forget indelible memories of sweet, lovable you. You're back again, so I'll let you in. Although I'm only seeing pictures from the past, those arms are not real, but somehow I feel if I just close my eyes, then maybe it will last. Invisible tears in my eyes, incredible pain in my heart, indestructible memories are passing in review. Impossible though things may get, improbable I will forget indelible memories of sweet, lovable you. Indelible memories of sweet, lovable you.
Are you going to agree? Our freedoms are waning and we'll lose our liberty, slipping one by one until there's nothing left to see. Are you willing to stand with me? Are you just going to let it be? The ranchers are first, but brother, next it may be me. We all stand together or we'll hang separately. Are you going to the tree? Are you willing to be free? It won't get any easier to regain lost liberty. Strange things are happening in this land that once was free. So brother, I ask you, are you going to stand by me?
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network. All right, let's continue to march here. Now, that's one way of doing it, and I would set something up just for you and your group. Just for people not to share, keep it kind of quiet. Of course, that doesn't mean that it's always going to be that way, but keep it kind of quiet. And the other thing to do, and I would consider, I would encourage all of you to think about this, and that is to join AMRON. AMRRON. It doesn't cost anything. It is all about AMRON is. It's set up, it's a communications group, I guess you could call it, that is set up specifically for disaster preparedness groups and stuff like that. They are, AMRON is the American Redoubt Radio Operators Network, and most of you are familiar with the American Redoubt, which is Idaho, Eastern, Washington, and Oregon, Idaho, I think Wyoming, Montana. I'm not sure exactly where the borders are, but it's right in an area right there. It's an area set aside. James Wesley Rawls, I think, was the first one that put out the idea about the American Redoubt. So There's, you know, Radio Free Redoubt that John Jacob Smith, JJ would call him, is a radio program that he does every day. They sell stuff. There's lots, good, Lord Almighty, lots of information that is specific to patriots, militia, preppers, survivalists, whatever. There is the first thing you'll come up here if you go to this one particular page on there is you'll see over on the right hand side, you'll see AMCON. AMCON is the Amron Communications Condition. They are at level 5 right now. You can click on that and it will show you the different levels and what's going on in the country that encourages them to put it at whatever level that it's at. And it fluctuates a little bit depending on what's going on in the country and in the world. So a good thing for you to check every day, and at least once a day, and kind of see what's going on and stay in touch with these people. They've got a big exercise coming up right now, T-16, coming up, I think, this weekend. It is, they call it T-Rex 2016. It is an end of the world as we know it readiness exercise. And it is an amazing exercise that they do and contact people. They have a scenario, a mock scenario set up. Say, okay, this particular time, maybe it's a grid down situation. How do you get a hold of people in your home area? How do you get a hold of people? You need help, you're trying to find family, you know, they give you a task saying, this is what has happened, what are you going to do? The correct answer is not to say, well, I don't know, I don't have high-frequency radio, so I have nothing, I guess. That's not the right answer. The answer is, how are you going to solve this? Don't tell me what you have and have not. Tell me what you're going to do to solve it. Well, okay, well, I know a guy down the road that has a radio, but I don't think it's HF, so I don't know if that would help. Well, the correct answer is to say, okay, I'm going to try. I'm going to go down and talk to this guy with this HF to find out he's only a 2-meter operator. However, one of his friends that's 30 miles away, 50 miles, 100 miles away, or whatever, is an HF operator. That operator, not only is an operator, I just found out he's also an Amron core operator. Perfect. Okay, he can get a hold of the guys I need to get. Problem solved. That's how I'm going to do it. So it's a great exercise. I went to last year. I participated in one that was even bigger and a little bit more covert than this one is. And folks, let me assure you of one thing. JJ and his bunch are geared up. I'll tell you that they tell you how a cow eats cabbage when it comes to radios and stuff. To this kind of thing. It is an amazing experience to watch these guys. This is a no-nonsense, very, very deadly serious exercise that they do. I can't encourage you strongly enough to get involved with Amron. Now, Amron core operators, these are, you don't have to have a particular type of radio or anything. You have to pay $40. $40 gives you access to additional things that other people do not have access to, and different instructions and different levels of the website that nobody else can get on. You also... Amron itself also has a program called the CH3 Project, the Channel 3 Project. This is very, very similar to what I was just talking about. It's not quite as elaborate because it's going to cover a lot more people. It'd be too time consuming if they were to do it like I was just talking about for your particular group. But the Channel 3 project means, under the same type of, and you could do this as a testing deal once in a while, test that and see how it works. The Channel 3 project is 3-2-1. What channel? Channel 3. That would be Channel 3 in MERS, CB, and FRS, GMRS. How long? 2 minutes. When? Every hour on the hour. So what you would do is, on any or all of these frequencies, every hour at the top of the hour, you're going to get on there, broadcast for 2 minutes, not two consecutive minutes, but you can go on there and say, hey, here, this is me, here I am. Anybody out there lost, need help? Or maybe you're lost and need help. And if you are, you'll know that if there's any AMRON operators in your area, and it's an emergency scenario, that they're going to be monitoring these three frequencies, or one or more of these three frequencies, for 2 minutes at the top of every hour. That's 3-2-1. Channel 3, monitor for 2 minutes at the top of the hour, 1 hour, every hour. So the an example might be, you know, this is Cope Reynolds, or this is, you know, my handle, this is Desert Scout, this is whoever, calling to any station out there that's listening. And here is somebody answers as, okay, this is John Jacob Schmidt. And, you know, just something so that you're able to make contact instead of just arbitrarily saying, oh, I hope somebody hears me. Let me turn the radio on and waste batteries, and we'll just keep calling and keep calling and keep calling until the battery's dead and maybe somebody will hear us. Well, you've got a better chance of following the Channel 3 project. Channel 3 on CB, FRS, GMRS, or MERS, M-U-R-S. And because of this well-known advertised protocol, if there's anybody that has anything to do with AMRON out there, there's a good chance that you may contact somebody. Now, they'll be monitoring, somebody in that will be monitoring also 146.520. And that is one of your 2 meter call channels. And so depending on what type of radio you have and all of that, then you should somehow be able to get a hold of somebody. Be patient. Don't waste your batteries. Stick to the program. And every hour on the hour for 2 minutes, you might start, a minute or so before to a minute or so after, and monitor that just in the difference in clocks, you know, in time settings. It may not be, that's why they're doing it for 2 minutes instead of going on there for 5 seconds right at the top of the hour. So I'd go a minute or so extra on either side. And if you don't get anybody at that time, then give it up. Wait till the next hour. Because most everybody out there that's going to be doing something like this, they're going to be doing it probably at the top and or the bottom of the hour. So there's probably not a whole lot of chance of wasting your battery in between those times. Now, you can do whatever you want. That's just how I, that's the way I see it right now. I don't know who this Anon 2014 is. Is this Aztec Going Dark? Is this a training exercise, or is this, had a week's notice, going dark for 8 hours. So I don't know what's going on in Aztec. Radio Doc might know what's going on there. That may be C7 out there. That's I'm not sure who that is. Anyway, Rolex, if you're asking what frequency, that is 146.520. 146.520 is one of the, I would call it a national 2 meter call channel. Rather like Channel 19 on CB, kind of like Channel 9, except it's not for emergencies. It's a channel that is monitored, and put in usually a scan sequence of just about everybody that has a 2 meter radio. So if you get on 146.520, it's a simplex channel. Chances are pretty damn good that you're going to raise somebody if you've got enough radio to get out of your backyard. If you can reach somebody, other ham operator somewhere, there's a pretty good chance that they'll be monitoring 146.520. And, I've got that put in the lineup on my radio where I, programmed everything. And for those of you, I think I already went over the way I program my radio, so you probably don't want to hear it again. But if you have any questions about that, well, give me a holler. But I think it's critical, maybe not critical, but very important that everyone in your group at least has at least some of the same frequencies programmed in the same place on the radio. In an emergency situation like this, maybe it's not that important that you have the same things programmed. It would be important, though, if you're out in the field. It is C7. Welcome, brother. So that if you have people, you have people who just have gone down to Walmart and bought a GMRS, you know, FRS, GMRS radio, and they say, well, we're on channel 462-5625. Well, what is that? Well, I don't know. Just go there. Why don't you just tell them you're going to channel 1, FRS? And because channel 1 on my Bofangs is programmed the same way. So channel 1 is the same as channel 1 on your Kmart radio. 1 through 22 are exactly the same as 1 through 22 on any FRS, GMRS radio in the nation. Any commercial one that you buy. So it'd be real easy for any teenager or somebody that, not familiar with ham and everything, but they have talked on the family FRS radios when they're out hunting and camping. So they're going to go naturally to channel whatever, channel 10, channel 15, 5, and because they don't know any better, because they expect all radios to be the same. Well, if you pick up one of my Bofangs, it will be the same. So anybody in those, for now, everything else is set up on a program on a schedule. There goes the dogs. May have to leave a minute, go kill something. But it's set up on a sequence that I can find all my channels. I go from the MERS channels will be in a certain area, and the NOAA channels will be in a certain area. Then I've got a long run of repeaters that are suitable for my needs. It may not be the same for everybody, but it's to help me get around all over the state and all in western New Mexico, western to central New Mexico. There is quite a number of law enforcement channels in there, so that wherever I'm at, I can hear if there's emergencies or stuff going on. I can monitor what's going on with those. It's perfectly legal to listen to law enforcement channels. It's just not legal to talk on them unless it's an emergency. So that's the kind of stuff that I have going on with my radios there. Okay, well that's the end of my little spiel there. Whether it's useful to you or not, I would like to see some of you do something similar to that. If you have any questions, we need to get them thrown out there pretty quick. C7's putting out radioreference.com. Tons. Good grief. Tons of information about programming and repeaters and talking on repeaters and building antennas, all kinds of stuff. Good Lord, they've got a lot of information on radioreference.com. between that and Amron, the Amron.com is the URL for that one, and they've got a ton of different pages and stuff to go to for on Amron. And let's see, there's also, for those of you that are interested in getting your ham license, I still encourage people to do that. I don't think everybody knows who we are, where we're at. You're in the phone book. I can, if I know your real name, I can find out pretty much everything about you on the internet after a little bit. So it's not really a big deal. The risk versus reward formula here. If I had no footprint, nobody knew anything about me, nobody'd ever heard of me, maybe I would think about it a little bit. But the ability to do the things that license allows you to do without getting in trouble, I think is worth it. And namely is to get on these repeaters and talk virtually nationwide, depending on the level of your, both the level of your license and the capabilities of your radio. So that's worth to me what some may consider a little bit of a privacy invasion. I'm not worried about it. And I think I've mentioned this before, and this is where it hit me, because once upon a time I thought the same way you did. I said, well, I'm going to have all this, and I'm going to study it a little bit, and I'm going to have some idea, and then when the poop hits the fan, I'll have it. Well, I don't think that's a very good idea. Because why do I want to wait? Why do I want to wait till I'm going to buy a handgun and I'm going to put it up, and if I ever need it, you know, I'm going to learn how to use it? Is that a little bit dumb, or is that a whole lot dumb? So I'm going to have all this and say, okay, well, now I need it. It's an emergency. It's a poop hit the fan scenario. It's as bad as it's ever going to get. I need to learn how to use my radio today. What's a repeater? So I think it's... I think it's important that you have it, learn how to operate them, practice so that it's smooth. You got so many other things going on in a poop hit the fan situation. There's so many other things going on that you can. It's going to be hard to concentrate on learning to operate this radio. This should be something that comes naturally to you because you've been doing it every day. And I practice what I preach. I've been practicing on repeaters and stuff. Since I started about, really in earnest, I started about 2 months ago, 3 months ago, and still haven't done a whole lot of it. But I'll tell you, me and Edge of the Woods talked the other day. I was over in Grants, New Mexico, and I hit a repeater up on Mount Taylor, 10,000 foot high mountain, and it went right over to Sandia Peak or somewhere in that area. And Edge of the Woods picked it up, and we talked just like we had good sense, being 125 miles away, something between us. So, and the reason I was able to do that is because I've been practicing, and I'm starting to kind of get an idea of how it works. So getting your technician license is free. It's easy. Your testing fee is going to be around $15. But that's the only cost you're going to have. So this, okay, Radio Doc, yeah, that was directed towards you. No, just kidding. I mean, I know that you had concerns about that, but I thought that other people probably do too, so I thought I'd throw my 2 cents worth in there. And Radio Doc is right. You can, by getting this license, now allows me to get on my DX radio and get on some of these other channels and run, not only to get on the channels, but to talk up to 1500 watts of power. Depending on, I mean, there's some limitations, the variations there, but on the average. So now I can run, instead of having to sneak through with a 1 watt walkie-talkie and hope I don't get caught, I can put it out there on a 75 watt radio with an antenna that's 60 foot in the air and say, "All right, here I am, big boy. I'll talk when I want to, and you talk when you can." And for those reasons, I think that the license is worth the little bit of what some would consider a privacy invasion. Easy to get the license. And I'm going to go through this one more time. Yeah, Radio Doc, good point. You don't have to do Morse code anymore. It used to be that you had a test. In your testing, you had to go through the whole Morse code thing. I thought, really? I'm not even going to use that. But, so now if you feel like you might use Morse code, you can practice that on your own time. You don't have to do it in the testing. So what I consider the easiest, fastest way to test, don't worry about studying. Go to hamexam.org. Take the sample test over and over and over and over and over. Every time you happen to think about it, you lay in bed in the morning for a few minutes, take the test a couple of times, you're laying in bed at night, take the test 10 or 15 times, sitting on the toilet, take the test a couple of times, eating breakfast, take the test. Just take these tests over and over and over, and as soon as you can hit reliably, regularly, hit 85% or so, then go take your test. You'll pass it. Once you do that, it's going to open up a whole new world of communication for you. So, with all that being said, I've just about used up my time here. So if you guys, CW, Morse code, yeah, may be fun. I fail to find the amusement in it. Some people enjoy that, and it's not a bad thing to have. It's another tool to have in your toolbox. Running Morse code, running CW requires, you can get a message through that way when voice will not make it. So it's not a bad thing to have, and your technician license will allow you to do that just in front of the 2 meter band. You've got a very small area that's legal for technicians to use just for that purpose. So certainly not a bad idea. Okay, well, tomorrow night, Liberty Lounge. And we'll give you a good, honest, probably a little more than a good, honest 2 hours. We'll probably stretch it out just a little bit more. And before I sign off, I want to mention the classes that we've got coming up. That is, hang on here a minute. Let me get this going. On the classes we have coming up, 17th, 18th, and 19th of this month is the Arms Expo in Yakima, Washington. The 21st of June will be a Counter-Strike class, also in Yakima. 24th, 25th, and 26th will be a 3-day personal defense handgun class in Marble, Washington, up there just south of Northport. And then in July, on the 8th, 9th, and 10th, I think it is, we're going to be doing the same class in Santa Fe County, New Mexico. You'll get the exact location when you sign up. And we've got designated rifleman class, I think, is you have to go to South. We're just getting these set up here. I think it's the 15th and 16th. But go to southwestshootingauthority.com over on the left-hand side. Click on class and event schedule, and you can get that figured out. The other thing that we're doing, and hopefully I'll see Iowa Cat tomorrow night. and see if she can help me. Matter of fact, I got her phone number. I'll just give her a call. We're trying to set up a class now. We've got some people interested from Ohio, a couple of places out in that neck of the woods. So what I want to do is kind of this, the people in Ohio are willing to drive to Iowa. It's only 600 miles for them. But since I'm already driving 1,400 miles, they're going to be good enough to go to Iowa if I can set one up. And I do know more people in Iowa than Iowa Cat. So hopefully we can set that up to where in kind of a centralized area where some of the people in the Midwest there can have the opportunity to take this class without having to go to Washington or Arizona to do it. So if you're up in that part of the country or you know somebody up in there, we're going to try to set that up for the, not sure of exactly the date yet. We just started working on this yesterday or day before yesterday. So it will either be the last weekend in August, which it is so hot and humid out there then, the last weekend in August or the second or third weekend in September. So somewhere in that area. We will not do it on Labor Day weekend, but it'll be in that area somewhere. So there you have it. With all that being said, I will bid you adieu and head on down the road here. And we'll talk to you tomorrow night for Liberty Lounge. Thanks for joining me.
He had a mean streak 2 feet wide. A son of a gun with a taste for fun and more than his share of pride. Take a dirt road curve with a devil's nerve, make a car dance across the mud. And haul and shine was his regular line till the track got in his blood. Was a real hot shot and he bragged a lot, but man, that fool could drive. Cause he loved to be on.
You've been listening to The Shooting Bench. Tune in Monday through Thursday from 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. to midnight Eastern for the most politically incorrect show on talk radio.
Lock your daughters up, that vile bunch is back in town. And them little girls get frisky when they hear that race car sound. They're bringing out the yellow flag, somebody's brakes have failed. There's a horse slick on the inside and a wreck along the rail. You better stand on the stroker, cause a bandit's on your tail.
Tune in again on Fridays at the same time for 2 hours of classic country music on Liberty Lounge.
It's a downright joy for a country boy when he hears them engines moan. But you gotta hang tough and it gets real rough when you're out there on your own. Cause they'll push you around, they'll knock you down.
And catch Living Away Out Here with me, Amy Reynolds, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, for the only good news out there. Trivia, stories, tips, hints, and fun on Living Way Out Here, right here on the Survival Circle Network.
Stroker, get your dander up, this ain't no time to lag. You got to make the lap up if you're gonna take that checkered flag. Number 10 is closing in to even up the score. It's time to wave bye-bye and put the pedal on the floor. You better stand on the stroker cause you're blowing off their door. Blow the door off, stroker. Stand on it, son.